I'm visible and God is invisible. How in the world am I supposed to have a relationship, a friendship with somebody who's invisible that I can't see until I get to heaven? God is perfect. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. I'm sinful. I mess up. I have faults and failings. How is that possible? A holy God with an unholy person. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. I'm weak. How in the world am I supposed to have a relationship? How in the world can I have a friendship when God and I are so different?
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue with our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Pastor Rick Warren will show you how to take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from average to awesome. You don't want to miss a second of this brand new series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can take all of your relationships to a level you never dreamed possible with the Awesome Relationships DVD Study Kit. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Becoming Best Friends with God.
Now, what kind of relationship does God want with you? The Bible says that your relationship to God has many different aspects. God is your creator. He's your maker. He's your master. He's your Lord. He's your judge. He's your redeemer. He is your savior. He is your father. There are many, many different relationships that God has with you. But the most amazing one, the most radical one, the most mind-blowing one of all is this. The Bible says that God wants you to be his friend. God wants to be friends with you. No other religion, faith, or worldview teaches what the Bible teaches, that God wants to be your friend. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." That's pretty straightforward. You want to get close to God, God will get close to you. What kind of friendship does God want to have with you? Well, you got to go back to the very beginning where God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, we see God's ideal relationship, the kind of one he wants to have with you. And that ideal relationship is an intimate, close, personal friendship. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve enjoyed an intimate friendship with God. In the Garden of Eden, there was no religion. You weren't made for a religion. In the Garden of Eden, there was no rules. In fact, there was only one rule: don't eat of one tree. Everything else, he says, whatever you want to do. There was no regulations in the Garden of Eden. There were no rituals in the Garden of Eden. All that stuff's been added by man over the years and years and years. God did not create you for religion, rules, regulations, or rituals. God made you for a relationship. And in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that Adam and Eve delighted in knowing God, and that God delighted in being a friend of Adam and Eve. And you were made for that ideal, to live in continual communication with God, in the presence of God, and in friendship with God. Here's the problem. Sin broke that relationship, broke the friendship. It broke God's heart, and in our rebellion, it broke the fellowship, the relationship with God. And when you go to the Bible, in the Old Testament, that's about two-thirds of this book, in the thousands of years before Jesus, only a few people actually had the privilege of being a friend of God. Most people in the Bible were not friends of God. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible tells us that Moses, Job, David, a guy named Enoch, these were all friends of God. But most people in the Bible weren't friends of God. In fact, they were kind of separated from God. And in the Bible, you find more guilt, fear, shame in relationship to God than you do friendship.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
If you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, you know that Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome. Awesome relationships cause the world to stand up and take notice because they're different from many of the dysfunctional relationships all around us. Healthy relationships aren't automatic or easy, but they are worth fighting for. That's why Pastor Rick Warren wants you to have the Awesome Relationships DVD Study Kit. This 4-video series and workbook will give you the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, cultivate amazing friendships, and deepen your relationship with the Lord. Video topics include fighting for an awesome marriage, fighting for an awesome family, fighting for awesome friendships, and becoming best friends with God. This DVD study kit is great for individual, small group, and even whole church study. And it's yours today when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Thanks so much.
Once again, here's Rick.
God made you or a relationship. And in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that Adam and Eve delighted in knowing God and that God delighted in being a friend of Adam and Eve. And you were made for that ideal, to live in continual communication with God, in the presence of God, and in friendship with God. Here's the problem. Sin broke that relationship, broke the friendship. It broke God's heart, and in our rebellion, it broke the fellowship, the relationship with God. And when you go to the Bible, in the Old Testament, that's about 2/3 of this book, in the thousands of years before Jesus, only a few people actually had the privilege of being a friend of God. Most people in the Bible were not friends of God. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible tells us that Moses, Job, David, a guy named Enoch. These were all friends of God. But most people in the Bible weren't friends of God. In fact, they were kind of separated from God. And in the Bible, you find more guilt, fear, shame in relationship to God than you do friendship. Even the priests of God in the temple in Jerusalem were not allowed to simply just walk into God's presence any day and talk to him at any time about anything. Only once a year was one priest allowed to go beyond that veil, that curtain, into the Holy of Holies and experience the presence of God. And they would spend weeks and months preparing to meet with God. It certainly wasn't a friendship. Then Jesus came and he changed the whole situation. And when he paid for your sins and my sins on the cross, the Bible said it restored the relationship with God. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, something significant and symbolic happened in the temple in Jerusalem. It says that the temple veil, which was this huge curtain from top to bottom, it was dozens and dozens of feet, was ripped from top to bottom. God ripped it, symbolizing that there was no more separation between God and man, that Jesus Christ had restored the relationship. You don't have to go through a priest to talk to God. You don't have to go through a pastor to talk to God. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, anytime, any place, about anything. You now have direct access to God because of what Jesus Christ did. And now we can approach God anytime, and it is possible to have that relationship, that friendship with God that Adam and Eve had because of what Jesus did. Let me show you some Bible verses. Romans chapter 5. It says this in verse 10 and 11. We were restored to friendship with God. Circle that phrase. We were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son while we were still God's enemies. So we'll certainly be delivered from eternal punishment, that's hell, by his life. Now, it says, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. It's all possible, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us, here's the phrase again, friends of God. Now, I want you to notice, the Bible says that if you're gonna be the friend of God, you can't buy friendship, you can't earn friendship with God, you'll never be good enough because God is perfect and you're not. You can't bargain, you can't bribe, you can't cajole. The only way you're ever gonna be a friend of God is because of what Jesus Christ did for you. It's by God's grace and by Jesus' sacrifice that makes this possible. Now, here's what Jesus says. Look up here on the screen. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you my friends. To me, that is the most amazing radical verse in the entire Bible, that God, the creator of the universe, would want to be a friend with you. That God would want to be a friend with me. Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. Because of what I did on the cross for you, I now call you my friends. Now, I looked this word up in the original Greek in the Bible, and the word friend here is not talking about some casual acquaintance. It is the most intimate, personal, lifelong comrade. This word, when Jesus says, I call you my friends, it's the word used for a best man at a wedding. Your best bud, your favorite friend, the guy who's been with you through thick and thin. Your best man. That's the kind of friend God says, I want you to be to me and I want to be to you. It's also the word used to refer to a king's inner circle in a kingdom. And if a king lives in a palace, there are all kinds of servants that are in that palace. But servants have to keep their distance from the king. They're not allowed to just walk into his presence. In fact, I've had the privilege of meeting some kings and queens over the years. And I just can't walk in and give them a big Rick Warren hug. There's protocol, and there's things you have to do, and I have to walk in, and you know, maybe you bow, and you wait, and you kind of wait for the right time, and then you take a step forward, and it's all very regulated. But if you're in the inner circle, you are a friend of the king. You enjoy close contact. You can walk in and out of the palace whenever you want. You get direct access. You don't have to go through anybody. You've got his email directly. You got direct access, and you have confidential information. Jesus says, this is the kind of friend I want to be to you, and I want you to be to me. There's an old hymn that's called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But it's not just Jesus. Jesus invites us to be friend with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity. Now, how important is this to God? I mean, really, how important is it to God in his mind that you become God's friend? It's extremely important. It's extremely important because it explains the cross and everything else in life. Let me just show you a couple verses. They're in your outline. Exodus 34 says this. He is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Did you know that? Did you know that God is passionate about wanting to know you and to love you and wanting you to know him and love him? You see, God knows everything about you. You know almost nothing about God. God loves everything about you in spite of yourself. You don't love him the way he loves you. God says God is passionate about his relationship with you. God is not mad at you. God is mad about you. God created you simply to love you. And did you know that the Bible says that God gets jealous when you put anything else before him? It breaks his heart. It's like a jilted lover. God says, I love you so much that when you don't love me the way I love you, it hurts. It breaks God's heart. God is passionate about his relationship with you. Let me explain his passion. Look at the next verse. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says this. God says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Can you hear the passion in this verse? Circle the word love and the word know, because this is the very first purpose of your life, to know and to love God. You got to know him before you love him. And the reason you don't love him is because you don't know him. If you knew him, you could not help but love him because you would understand how much he loves you. And God says, I want you to know me. God knows everything about you. He says, I want you to know me. And God says, I love you. I want you to love me. You were made for this reason. Now, this is hard to grasp. that God, the creator of the entire universe, would care about little old me, would care about little old you. The Bible tells us very clearly that God planned the entire universe, and then he orchestrated all of history, including the personal history of your life, just so he could love you, and so you could learn to know him and love him back. The whole reason God created the universe is he wanted to create people to love, and he wanted you to learn to love him back and become a part of his family, not just here on earth, but for all of eternity. That's amazing. Let me show you what the Bible says. Acts 17, starting from scratch, God made the entire human race, and he made the earth hospitable. What does it mean? He made it livable. We have everything we need to support human life. We got air, we got sun, we got water, we got food. God said, I created a place where human beings could exist. He created the human race and made the earth livable with plenty of time and space for living. Why? Rest of the verse. So we could seek after God, not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. God isn't playing games with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be his friend. He wants to be a friend of you. It's the whole reason the universe was made and you were created. Now, how is this possible? I'm visible and God is invisible. How in the world am I supposed to have a relationship, a friendship with somebody who's invisible that I can't see until I get to heaven? God is invisible, I'm visible. How do you have that relationship? God is perfect. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. I'm sinful. I mess up. I have faults and failings. How is that possible? A holy God with an unholy person. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. I'm weak. How in the world am I supposed to have a relationship? How in the world can I have a friendship when God and I are so different? There's only one way. There's only one way. It's through what Jesus Christ did for you. So let's look at five ways to begin building a lifetime friendship with God. I have been a friend of God now for over 45 years. And some of the things that I want to share with you are things from my own personal experience of how I've gotten to know God on a personal basis. Now here are the five things. Number one, write these down. First, make knowing God my number one priority. Make knowing God my number one priority. You're never going to be a good friend of God if it's kind of way down your list. You can't do it in your spare time. It's the reason you were created, and it ought to be the most important thing in your life if you don't get anything else done. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I've told you how I do this. I'll tell you again. I've done it for literally decades. Every morning when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I do this every single day of my life. I sit on the edge of my bed and I pray a simple two-sentence prayer. And it says this, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I wanna know you a little bit better and I wanna love you a little bit more because that's the first purpose of my life. If I miss that, I have wasted the day. Now, it doesn't matter how many things I accomplish, how many achievements I do, how popular I become, how much money I make, none of that matters if at the end of the day, I don't know God a little bit better and I don't love him a little bit more, I just wasted that day because God did put me or you on this planet simply to do stuff. God did not create you simply to mark things off your to-do list. The number one reason you're here and alive is for God to love you and for you to learn to love him back. You missed that, sorry, you just wasted your life. Because you weren't put here to go to school, get a job, retire, and die. There's more to life than that. You make it the number one priority of your life. And at the end of the day, if everything has gone wrong in my life, I've had one disaster after another, I've blown it, I've sinned, I've made mistakes, bad things have happened to me. If at the end of the day I know God a little bit better and I love him a little bit more, that day was a success no matter what else happened. You're not gonna build a friendship with God in your spare time. You've gotta make it the number one goal of your life, more important than making money or anything else. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 3. Everything else is worthless compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, that I may know Christ. He said, when I think of all the other stuff I'm doing in my life, it's all junk, it's all trash, it's all garbage. It really doesn't matter when I compare to the most important thing in my life, and that is becoming a friend of God, preparing myself for eternity. Now, the Bible says in Jeremiah, God says this, you will find me. You will find me when? You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are you doing that? I mean, really? No, you're not. You're not seeking God with all your heart. It's one of the nice things you'd like to do in life, but it's long down the line with prepare for retirement, get a job, find somebody to marry, go to school, or all the other things. It's just one of the things in your life. He says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you know why I know God? Because I have sought him with all my heart, and I've done it for years. Knowing and loving God is the greatest privilege in life. Being known by God and being loved by God is the greatest pleasure in life. This is all a matter of values. Nothing's going to happen in your life until you decide what value is most important in your life. And I've decided the most important value in my life is knowing the Creator who made me to love him. You know, I just got back from this trip from Europe, and I discovered that you can tell what people value by just listening to what they brag about. When you hear people brag about their kids, you know they value their kids more than anything else. If you value your job more than anything else, you brag about your job. If you value wealth more than anything else, you brag about how much money you've made. And you brag about your car and all the possessions you've got. If clothing and looking good is the most important value, you brag about the kind of clothes you've got. And if you value partying and going to parties on weekends, you talk about partying. Whatever you talk about most in life is what you value the most. Now, here's what the Bible says. Look here on the screen. Jeremiah 9. God says, the wise must not brag about their wisdom, and the strong must not brag about their money or their strength, and the rich must not brag about their money. But if someone wants to brag, let him brag that he really understands and knows me. That's the one thing God says it's okay for you to brag about. I know God. God and me, we're like this.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or if you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. Now, if you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, well, you know that Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome. Awesome relationships cause the world to stand up and take notice because they're different from many of the dysfunctional relationships all around us. Healthy relationships aren't automatic or easy, but they're worth fighting for. That's why Pastor Rick Warren wants you to have the Awesome Relationships DVD Study Kit. This four-video series and workbook will give you the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, to cultivate amazing friendships and deepen your relationship with the Lord. Video topics include fighting for an awesome marriage, fighting for an awesome family, fighting for awesome friendships, and becoming best friends with God. This DVD study kit is great for individual, small group, and even whole church study. And it's yours today when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks for listening today. You know, we can be completely confident that the gospel has the power not just to save us, but to change our lives on a daily basis. I'd love to hear from you. If you can send in a little gift, help us continue this ministry or expand it, I'd appreciate it. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.